Last week in our last, we finished up this series on generosity, and the last thing we talked about was being real with one another, being real with God, being real. Let your worship be real. Let everything that you do be real. Take the mask off. Allow God to manifest who he is to you and who he is through you. Well, this week we're talking about something a little fun. You guys ready? We're talking about cross-dressing. How many people are like, oh no, oh no, oh no, Matt, I see Matt's like, no, Tap, this was the wrong week to talk about cross-dressing. But that's what we're talking about, community cross-dressing. And it's weird and it's uncomfortable. That was a little bit what we talked about. I came up here and shared a little bit about worship. When worship is genuine and it's real, it's going to make people uncomfortable. I believe we've been programmed by man to keep things comfortable, to keep things seeker-friendly, to keep things where it's not like, well, if God just breezes by us, that's okay. But if someone falls out and starts weeping and wailing because the love of God grabs a hold of him, that's weird, and that makes me uncomfortable. What happens if this is the way that we were always meant to be? I asked last week, I said, is the way you pray with people the way you pray in your prayer closet? No. How many people say, no, it's not? Why not? Because we're worried that people are going to reject us. We're worried that people are going to look at us and say, well, oh my gosh, they just think they're really spiritual. Or they just think that they... We're worried about other people's mindset. Really, we're worried about offending other people with our lifestyle and love. The truth, that's the truth. The truth is we are so worried what other people think. If my wife was here, she'd be able to correct my Dutch. If I'm not mistaken, it's Vavidanabadanga. Is that right? It means, what would the neighbor think? They grew up living in a place of always worrying about what other people are thinking. Always worried about what other people are saying. Always worried about of looking weird. And the funny thing is, what's wrong with being weird? I was a little baggy on you.
Yeah.
You're going to sag like 1999. So anyways, this totally is not Luke's clothing, is it? You're like swimming in my pants, aren't you? He's swimming. Now, this makes people, he looks weird. We're going to be like, dude, that's not normal. It's weird. What are you doing? What are you thinking? Don't you know how to shop for clothes in your own size? What would your parents think if they saw you like this? Oh man. But usually we're worried about what people are going to think. But there's something in scripture, and we're going to come from Colossians today, the third chapter. We're going to touch on some things, but there's something particular that we're going to touch on. And by Luke's clothing, we all know that this doesn't fit him, and I think it'd be too tight on me. But there's a scripture that says, I want you to take off the old self and put on the new self. How do you take off the old you? See, a lot of times we would say this is what Luke needs to take off because it's not normal. But what happens, if you don't mind, lift your shirt up. Just that. What happens if that's what he needs to take off? What happens if it's not what appears to be natural to man, what appears to be normal to man, what appears to be the wisdom of man? What happens if it's the unnatural that's really meant to be normal? What happens if everything that's usual and common to man is what he was referring to that needs to be taken off? Thank you. See, it's easy. Yeah. I see you sagging and limping. Awesome. I did that in the 2000s. Skinny jeans are in. I love But what happens if we're so worried about trying to fit in that we're not willing to stand out when that's what God asks us to do? Jesus was not worried about trying to fit in and trying to appease people, trying to gain popular opinion. I'm going to win the vote now for sure. That wasn't his mentality. Jesus wasn't. Listen, today Jesus probably wouldn't be a very good politician. If you like Ben Shapiro, he'll probably be like that. I'm going to leave that alone now. shoot, I like Ben Shapiro. That's the only disclosure you guys get right there. But he wasn't afraid to stand out. We are called the children of God. It's really weird to me that we're scared to stand out sometimes. And what's even more weirder, we're scared to stand out with each other when that's what we're, this is supposed to be the safest place to do it at. But we're so scared of people's opinions. We're so scared of not following well, this isn't normal, God. Well, God's not natural. He's supernatural. Like, when you read stories in the Bible, you hear about a supernatural God. But do you actually believe that he's the same today in your life? Not in the person on TV, not in the preacher that you keep hearing that miracles happen by, in your life, in your prayer, in your worship. Is he the same? Or do you find yourself resisting? See, the gauge of where the Spirit's at is called freedom. Are you free or are you bound? Bound by the way man and society thinks, or free in the way God thinks? Cross-dressing simply means, for believers, it means this: to be dressed in the glory of Jesus after his resurrection. Do you understand what that means? That means we get dressed after the cross, not before it. If you try to get dressed before the cross, you're going to get into religion and works. And then you're going to try to fulfill some unwritten law and code that men have, or that you set up in your own self, in your own heart, in your community, to make yourself appear righteous, to make yourself right or look good for people. But what it is that we dress in the glory of Jesus after his resurrection. We start from where Jesus finished at. Where did he finish that? He finished when he said it was finished. That was the law. That was the law and the fulfillment of the prophets. But where we start at is when the resurrected Lord came walking through a room where his disciples were at. And he says, peace to you. That first peace represents you have peace with God because my blood's on the mercy seat. The second peace that he said, peace unto you. He said it twice. That second peace was that you can have peace now with each other and God. Don't be afraid. Be of good courage. I won't leave you as orphans. There's a scripture that says woman is the glory of man. And whose do you belong to? Are not you the bride of Christ? I wonder if we look like the glory of God. I wonder, is there a scripture that says he made men and women in his image, in his likeness, and they are the glory of God? There's a scripture that says that. Whenever you try to dress before the cross, you're getting into religion. And if you don't start dressing where Jesus left off at, you're going to go back into legalism, works, trying to fit to make yourself appear before men to be holy. So, you know, if I really wanted to do it well, I would have got a robe and put on a robe today. Came out here where it's like, you know, dancing in it. Bought the shirt too. But I would have did that to try to make me appear to be better than. That's weird. In Colossians 3, if you turn there, we're gonna skim through it. But it says this. The main point of it is think like heaven, put off the old self forever. When we read, the first part says, think on these things above. Dwell where God is at. Let your mind be renewed. And it says, that's the mindset you're supposed to have. But then it also says, put off or put to death or mortify the deeds of the body, but it really says put off. And in the Greek, that word put off means once and for all. I realize that half the battle with being a Christian in today's society is we just don't really believe what Jesus said and what he has finished. Because we always try to do something else to try to finish it for him. Like he didn't do enough when he died. Like God became a man, was in a woman's womb. You understand that? The God of all universe became a man. And because of that, he finished the law for us. So we don't have to follow the law, but now we can follow him as he says. And if we would believe that, we would take on the same mindset that Jesus had. I wonder if that sounds like scripture. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ. Oh, okay. Just so we know that we're staying on task in the word of truth. Because truth sets you free. Listen, I don't care how many people pray for you. Until you allow that truth to dwell in your heart rich, you're not going to be free. I'm not saying you can't get healed. I'm saying that you can't get free. Because then you're going to need someone else to come, counsel you, and pray for you. And then after that, you're going to need someone else to come, counsel you, and pray for you. And you're in this vicious cycle. But Jesus was the exclamation point. He said, it's enough. It's finished. It's over. Why don't you just agree with me and think like heaven and put off the old you forever? Because that's what he said when he said, put it off forever. That's what happened. Because if you weren't forever changed when you got born again, then you cannot put that off forever. So something had to happen. Something had to change. Let me explain what the sin attitude is, the sin nature, the mind of the flesh, the old you. It's this. It's a sin attitude, a fear outlook, a victim mentality, a poverty mindset, always looking for preservation, self-hating and religious. That's what he said, put off. A sin attitude. Do you know what that is? I'm so sin conscious. I'm going to sin. Today I'm going to wake up and sin. And I have to ask God to forgive me because I'm going to sin. And it's sin, 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 sin. And you're really sincerely in your sin. It says in scripture that the blood of goats and lambs could not clean the conscience of man. So Jesus came. That not only would we be forgiven of sin, but we can be free from sin consciousness. Means to be consumed. That means to have an attitude of always sinning. I'm going to sin. It's just going to happen. You know? That's where your faith's going at. A sin attitude leads you to a fear outlook. You're always seeing the negative. You're never seeing nothing positive. Everything's always wrong. Everything's always bad. Everything's not good enough. You're not good enough. You never will be. Even if God says you're good, you're going to say, no, God, I'm not. Even if God says you're holy, no, God, you're only holy. And God can be speaking to you saying, no, you're holy because of what Jesus did. No, no, only you're holy. And we think that's humility, but that's pride. And that's you believing a lie over the voice of truth. That's called a lie. You're going to live into a lie. And it's not humble at all. It's actually arrogance. And because of your fear outlook, like it's always going to be bad. This is bad. It's going to leave you to a place of being a victim and having a victim mentality. And you're going to stay in a victimized state. Like it's everyone else's fault but mine. I can't be responsible for nothing I do. It's their fault. If my mother wouldn't have did this when I was 5. And you're like, what? 50? Get over it. Well, you don't know how they treated me in school. Get over it. How long are you going to be bound? How long are you going to be between two opinions? How long? Are you going to choose God and choose life? Or are you going to worship Baal? How long are you going to be worshiping the old self instead of putting on the new self? Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Because of your victim mentality, you're going to go into a place of a poverty mindset. I'm never good enough, never can be good enough, never won't ever measure up to nothing. I can't do this, I can't do that. And from a poverty mindset, it's all about preserving the little bit that you got. Well, at least I got this. It's the best I can. At least I got this. And you're going to work hard to preserve that little bit. Instead of saying, God, I'm going to give you the little bit. Because if I give you the little, God can do a lot with a little. And last time I checked, he was bigger than me. But you're not going to give. You're going to hold to this little tiny bit like your life depends on it. And you're self-hating. You really don't like you. You don't like yourself. I don't like this about me. I don't like that about me. And how you know is when you're even joking, well, I'm just nothing. And it comes out. Because that's how you really view you. That's the self-hating. And you're religious because now you're trying to effort your way into a better life. Welcome to the self-help community. I gotta self-help myself into a better me. Stop. You're like, well, Tab, I don't know if that's true. Now, you ready? Follow me. Adam and Eve eat off the tree, right? Immediately, they became sin conscious. They had a sin attitude. They're like, uh-oh, my eyes are open. Guess what? I'm in my nude. So are you. Immediately, they had an outlook of fear. Oh! I mean, that was his wife for crying out loud. Gotta go close myself. And then God comes through the garden. Well, you see, God, it's not my fault. It's the woman you gave me. The woman goes and says, well, God, it's not my fault. You made me. It's the snake. And then they take on the mindset of poverty. Well, I'm hiding from the God who knows everything. I mean, come on, did he really have to come down to the garden to say, where are you, Adam? He already knew you were playing peekaboo. And all of a sudden, they're trying to preserve themselves because of the victim mentality and the poverty mindset, meaning I'm not good enough anymore to be in your presence, God. I got to go hide myself. I got to go preserve me. And now he hates himself for what he did, and he hates the woman God gave him. He threw her right under the bus. Before it was bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Wow, you're amazing. It's her fault, God. Self-hating and religious. Well, where's the religious part come in at? I got to clothe myself. I got to give me some leaves and cover myself up and make myself acceptable to God. That's the religious part. This is what God's saying, put off. Most of the time in our lives, this is the old man, the old self that's dead that we're fighting against. A lot of times we think it's a devil, but really it's just bad thinking. And with bad thinking, bad things can come in. You get what I'm saying? Because you think bad, bad things get to come in. Whatsoever a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We're going to lace this thing with so many scriptures, you're going to be like, oh my goodness. So next, we find ourselves in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. And this is what it says. For you have acquired a new creation life, which is continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you, giving you the full revelation of God. In this new creation life, your nationality makes no difference, or your ethnicity, education, or economic status. They matter nothing. For it is Christ that means everything, as he lives in every one of us. Aren't these the thing that people take pride in? Oh, I'm going to step on some toes. I'm an American. I'm a citizen of heaven. What's that? Well, I'm black. I have pride in my nation. Get over it. Well, I'm so educated. I went to Harvard. I studied. And I got this degree. That degree is hanging on my wall. So when people come in, they can see how much I know more than them. Get over it. Well, you don't understand. I make six figures every hour. Get over it. None of that matters. But yeah, this is the stuff that's driving the world and they're fighting over. They're fighting over their nationality. You know what's even crazier? We have Christians that get on little chat rooms and comments that fight other Christians about their nationality. I thought you were a citizen of heaven. I thought you put the old behind and stand into the new. You don't understand, brother. You're talking about politics right now. I'm talking about you becoming a child of God and living like one. Them were so defined by our ethnicity, where you came from. Well, I'm a natural born. I'm part Indian and part this and part that. I got Jesus in me. I wonder if I'm one spirit with the Lord. I wonder if that means, oh my goodness. Now the only thing that matters is that I'm in him and he's in me. And I see that I became one with him. What about your education? Do you know that means nothing? Paul was the most educated man. We're getting ready to learn a profanity word. You guys ready? I'm having fun, by the way. And if you want to get upset at me, talk to Frank. Yeah, I did. Frank, I'm preserving myself. Listen, Paul was the most educated Pharisee. He outdid his teacher. And he said this. If you guys want to boast on something, let me boast. I was circumcised whatever day it was. I was trained under the best religious teacher of all time. I was more zealous. I even killed Christians. That's how zealous I was for the law and traditions of my forefathers. And then he uses a word in your Bible, in your King James, in your Latin, in your Greek Bible, called skabula. He says, I count it all as skabula. Do you know what the translation of skabula is? Are you guys ready to like kick me out? I'm going to give someone some pitchforks in a moment if you want to kick me out. Skabula is the equivalent word, not for poo and not for crap. Who said it? Who said it in Dutch? Shaz, how dare you? And I want you guys to challenge me on it. Because it's one thing to say, oh, I made a boo-boo. It's another thing, oh, crap. But there's a different degree when you use the word shh. Shh. Sour hat, igloos, and ties. But that's what Paul said. He says, I count it as that. He didn't use the word crap or poo. He used a derogative word to understand the state of the old man. You were completely SOL. You understand that? So we're not trying to be religious now and realize what's actually in our Bible. And if you don't believe me, you look it up in the Greek and Hebrew and then come back and talk to me. But that's what it means. And he says, put that away because you have the new man. And the 12th verse says this. You know, you're acting like that skabula word. You know that? Okay, just hit the space bar then. It should go to the next slide. It's not moving. Moving on. If you have your Bible, there it is. It says this in the 12th verse. You are always and dearly loved by God. So robe yourself with virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others and be compassionate, showing kindness toward all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. I love this. That word robe. It means in duo. Be in duoed. It's not an innuendo. In duo means to robe, clothe, put on, sink into spiritual apparel. See, a lot of times we try to hold the armor of God before we put on the spiritual clothes of God. So we can say the breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, and all these war things, but you're nude underneath. You got to be clothed, man. And then we wonder why the sword ain't working right. It's because that you're not clothed. It says robe yourself. What do you robe yourself in? Here we go again. Robe yourself with virtues of God. And then it says this, be merciful. So one of the first virtues is mercy. That means I'm not out for blood when someone does me wrong. It's no longer an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Unless you're getting your grown-up teeth. But it's no longer that. Jesus said if someone slaps you, turn the other cheek. Show mercy. After that, he says this, look to understand one another. Because you don't understand one another, that's why you guys fight. And we go off into our religious sects and say, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Paulus, and I'm of Cephas. Who was the monkey in Planet of the Apes? But in the Bible, he was Peter. I'm a sci-fi nerd, just a disclosure. But that's why, because we don't want to understand one another. We rather jump to our opinions, our conclusions, our judgments. I don't really want to understand your pain or what you're going through. It's about me anyway. That's not the way the kingdom of God works. That's the way the world works. And that's the way you'll work if you're not robed, if you're not clothed, if you're not in duo in your spiritual apparel. Do you know what it's actually saying? It's saying God has given you a new life in the inside. How about you let that out? How about you let that new life train the way you think? Train the way you talk? I mean, listen, I can be the most angriest person and not tell anyone that I'm cursing them out in my own heart. And I can just go, and that's not the mornings of the Spirit either. That's not what God wants us to be like. He wants us to be clothed in Him. He wants us to actually allow that life inside of Jesus to manifest inside of us. And then it goes on and says this in the 13th verse. Tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith. Let's just stop right there. The first place that this is supposed to happen at is with us who are believers. But how many times do we get offended with one another, get angry at one another, and then leave? I'm mad at you. You're mad at me. You're supposed to be a Christian. You are too. You're supposed to love. You're supposed to put up with my weakness. Oops. Come on, that's what happens. I'm a Christian. I'm offended at you. And I'm a Christian and I'm offended at you. And next minute, you know, we got these two offended people and they say that they're Christians, but they don't look like Jesus at all. The one who got hurt doesn't look like Jesus because they're saying, I'm so hurt, I can't love you anymore. Adios. That's not Jesus. And the one that hurt you is sitting there like, dude, I'm sorry, it's my weakness. And they define themselves by their weakness the rest of their life. And that's not Jesus. None of that is Jesus. And it says, forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release the same gift of forgiveness to them. And it says this, for love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. Not how well you've studied. Not how much you have acquired, not by because you applied these principles and that principle. It's your love that shows true maturity. A lot of times we think it's by I got my doctor's degree. That's my mature level. I'm a doctor and now everyone has to recognize me. You know what I struggle with? When I'm out in public and people just go, Pastor! I'm like, dude, I'm Tap. Just call me Tap. I don't need people to look at me and treat me different because they hear a title. I'd rather them treat me how they want to treat me because of how I look and who I am, because then Jesus' love can just, whoa. And they're not expecting, because usually when someone realizes what you are, they're just like, okay, we got to button up. And it's a mask. Are we really free with one another like that, though? Or are we still trying to look good for each other? Because that's a mindset. Let me tell you how you fight against that first mindset. Let me tell you how you fight against that first way of being. Because behind each of those, the sin attitude, there's a devil. Behind being a victim mentality, there's a devil. And I'm just being honest. But there is. And if you don't get free, then you create a stronghold. But there is one who will break away all those things. There's a scripture that says the anointing breaks the yoke. So you have this picture of a cow or a cattle or an ox. And they put this big yoke, wooden yoke, on top of this ox. It's his neck. And it would fit him. But all of a sudden, that ox began to eat real good. He began to get fat and sassy. And then the owner goes out and he tries to put that yoke on that ox who got fat and sassy. And, well, I'm just nothing. And it comes out. Because that's how you really view you. That's the self-hating. And you're religious. Because now you're trying to effort your way into a better life. Welcome to the self-help community. I got to self-help myself into a better me. Stop. You're like, well, Tab, I don't know if that's true or not. You ready? Follow me. Adam and Eve eat off the tree, right? Immediately, they became sin conscious. They had a sin attitude. They're like, uh-oh, my eyes are open. Guess what? I'm in my nude. So are you. Immediately, they had an outlook of fear. Oh! I mean, that was his wife for crying out loud. Gotta go close myself. And then God comes through the garden. Well, you see, God, it's not my fault. It's the woman you gave me. The woman goes and says, well, God, it's not my fault. You made me. It's the snake. And then they take on the mindset of poverty. Well, I'm hiding from the God who knows everything. I mean, come on, did he really have to come down to the garden to say, where are you, Adam? He already knew you were playing peekaboo. And all of a sudden, they're trying to preserve themselves because of the victim mentality and the poverty mindset, meaning I'm not good enough anymore to be in your presence, God. I got to go hide myself. I got to go preserve me. And now he hates himself for what he did, and he hates the woman God gave him. He threw her right under the bus. Before it was bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Wow. You're amazing. It's her fault, God. Self-hating and religious. Well, where's the religious part come in at? I got to clothe myself. I got to give me some leaves and cover myself up and make myself acceptable to God. That's the religious part. This is what God's saying, put off. Most of the time in our lives, this is the old man, the old self that's dead that we're fighting against. A lot of times we think it's a devil, but really it's just bad thinking. And with bad thinking, bad things can come in. You get what I'm saying? Because you think bad, bad things get to come in. Whatsoever a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We're going to lie. We're going to lace this thing with so many scriptures. You're going to be like, oh my goodness. So next. We find ourselves in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. And this is what it says. For you have acquired a new creation life, which is continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you, giving you the full revelation of God. And this new creation life, your nationality makes no difference, or your ethnicity, education, or economic status. They matter nothing. For it is Christ that means everything as he lives in every one of us. Aren't these the thing that people take pride in? Oh, I'm going to step on some toes. I'm an American. I'm a citizen of heaven. What's that? Well, I'm black. I have pride in my national. Get over it. Well, I'm so educated. I went to Harvard. I studied. And I got this degree. That degree is hanging on my wall. So when people come in, they can see how much I know more than them. Get over it. Well, you don't understand. I make six figures every hour. Get over it. None of that matters. But yeah, this is the stuff that's driving the world and they're fighting over. They're fighting over their nationality. You know what's even crazier? We have Christians that get on little chat rooms and comments that fight other Christians about their nationality. I thought you were a citizen of heaven. I thought you put the old behind and stand into the new. You don't understand, brother. You're talking about politics right now. I'm talking about you becoming a child of God and living like one. Them were so defined by our ethnicity, where you came from. Well, I'm a natural born. I'm part Indian and part this and part that. I got Jesus in me. I wonder if I'm one spirit with the Lord. I wonder if that means, oh my goodness. Now the only thing that matters is that I'm in him and he's in me. And I see that I became one with him. What about your education? Do you know that means nothing? Paul was the most educated man. We're getting ready to learn a profanity word. You guys ready? I'm having fun, by the way. And if you want to get upset at me, talk to Frank. Yeah, I did. Frank, I'm preserving myself. Listen, Paul was the most educated Pharisee. He outdid his teacher. And he said this. If you guys want to boast on something, let me boast. I was circumcised whatever day it was. I was trained under the best religious teacher of all time. I was more zealous. I even killed Christians. That's how zealous I was for the law and traditions of my forefathers. And then he uses a word in your Bible, in your King James, in your Latin, in your Greek Bible, called skabula. He says, I count it all as skabula. Do you know what the translation of skabula is? Are you guys ready to like kick me out? I'm going to give someone some pitchforks in a moment if you want to kick me out. Skabula is the equivalent word, not for poo and not for crap. Who said it? Who said it in Dutch? Shaz, how dare you? And I want you guys to challenge me on it. Because it's one thing to say, oh, I made a boo-boo. It's another thing, oh, crap. But there's a different degree when you use the word shh. Shh. Sour hat, igloos, and ties. But that's what Paul said. He says, I count it as that. He didn't use the word crap or poo. He used a derogative word to understand the state of the old man. You were completely SOL. You understand that? So we're not trying to be religious now and realize what's actually in our Bible. And if you don't believe me, you look it up in the Greek and Hebrew and then come back and talk to me. But that's what it means. And he says, put that away because you have the new man. And the 12th verse says this. You know, you're acting like that skabula word. You know that? Okay, just hit the space bar then. It should go to the next slide. It's not moving. Moving on. If you have your Bible, there it is. It says this in the 12th verse. You are always and dearly loved by God.
So robe yourself with virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others, and be compassionate, showing kindness toward all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. I love this. That word robe, it means in duo. Be in duoed. It's not an innuendo. In duo means to robe, clothe, put on, sink into spiritual apparel. See, a lot of times we try to hold the armor of God before we put on the spiritual clothes of God. So we can say the breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, and all these war things, but you're nude underneath. You got to be clothed, man. And then we wonder why the sword ain't working right. It's because that you're not clothed. It says robe yourself. What do you robe yourself in? Here we go again. Robe yourself with virtues of God. And then it says this, be merciful. So one of the first virtues is mercy. That means I'm not out for blood when someone does me wrong. It's no longer an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Unless you're getting your grown-up teeth. But it's no longer that. Jesus said, if someone slaps you, turn the other cheek. Show mercy. After that, he says this, look to understand one another. Because you don't understand one another, that's why you guys fight. And we go off into our religious sects and say, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Paulus, and I'm of Cephas. Who was the monkey in Planet of the Apes? But in the Bible, he was Peter. I'm a sci-fi nerd, just a disclosure. But that's why, because we don't want to understand one another. We rather jump to our opinions, our conclusions, our judgments. I don't really want to understand your pain or what you're going through. It's about me anyway. That's not the way the kingdom of God works. That's the way the world works. And that's the way you'll work if you're not robed, if you're not clothed, if you're not in duo in your spiritual apparel. Do you know what it's actually saying? It's saying God has given you a new life in the inside. How about you let that out? How about you let that new life train the way you think? Train the way you talk? I mean, listen, I can be the most angriest person and not tell anyone that I'm cursing them out in my own heart. And I can just go, and that's not the mornings of the Spirit either. That's not what God wants us to be like. He wants us to be clothed in Him. He wants us to actually allow that life inside of Jesus to manifest inside of us. And then it goes on and says this in the 13th verse. Tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith. Let's just stop right there. The first place that this is supposed to happen at is with us who are believers. But how many times do we get offended with one another, get angry at one another, and then leave? I'm mad at you. You're mad at me. You're supposed to be a Christian. You are too. You're supposed to love. You're supposed to put up with my weakness. Oops. Come on, that's what happens. I'm a Christian. I'm offended at you. And I'm a Christian and I'm offended at you. And next minute, you know, we got these two offended people and they say that they're Christians, but they don't look like Jesus at all. The one who got hurt doesn't look like Jesus because they're saying, I'm so hurt. I can't love you anymore. Adios. That's not Jesus. And the one that hurt you is sitting there like, dude, I'm sorry. It's my weakness. And they define themselves by their weakness the rest of their life. And that's not Jesus. None of that is Jesus. And it says, forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release the same gift of forgiveness to them. And it says this, for love is the supreme, is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. not how well you've studied, not how much you have acquired, not by because you applied these principles and that principle. It's your love that shows true maturity. A lot of times we think it's by, I got my doctor's degree. That's my mature level. I'm a doctor, and now everyone has to recognize me. You know what I struggle with? When I'm out in public and people just go, Pastor! I'm like, dude, I'm Tap. Just call me Tap. I don't need people to look at me and treat me different because they hear a title. I'd rather them treat me how they want to treat me because of how I look and who I am, because then Jesus' love can just, whoa. And they're not expecting, because usually when someone realizes what you are, they're just like, okay, we got to button up. And it's a mask. Are we really free with one another like that, though? Or are we still trying to look good for each other? Because that's a mindset. Let me tell you how you fight against that first mindset. Let me tell you how you fight against that first way of being. Because behind each of those, the sin attitude, there's a devil. Behind being a victim mentality, there's a devil. And I'm just being honest. But there is. And if you don't get free, then you create a stronghold. But there is one who will break away all those things. There's a scripture that says the anointing breaks the yoke. So you have this picture of a cow or a cattle or an ox. And they put this big yoke, wooden yoke, on top of this ox. It's his neck. And it would fit him. But all of a sudden, that ox began to eat real good. He began to get fat and sassy. And then the owner goes out and he tries to put that yoke on that ox who got fat and sassy.